Okay. In Parshas Toldos, obviously, we have a tremendous amount to discuss. There is the entire story of Yitzchak Avinu. He only gets really one Parsha, or really one parak, if you think about it. But the beginning of the Parsha deals with, obviously, the pregnancy of Rivka and eventual birth of Yaakov and Esav. And we know that Rivka has a very difficult pregnancy right off the bat in the first couple of psukim in the Parsha. The Torah tells it, but Yitzhu up on a Mikirba, but Tomerim Cain. The pregnancy is so painful, it's so difficult for Rivka. She can't bear it anymore. You look at the Rashbam, talks about how painful it was. And she says, Lamza Anochi, what do I need this bichlal? And she goes and asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the problem? Rashi, she has shame. Different versions say maybe she has Arminu, maybe she herself had some type of Ruach HaKodesh. And what was the response? By Yom Rashem La, Shnei Goyim Vinikneich, Shnei Lumim Yimach Yivreidu, L'om Malam Yimatz, V'Rabi Wotzir. What's the answer? The answer is that there's no, don't worry, you're having twins. You're having twins, and that's why it's so painful. That's a push-up shot in the circuit. But we all know that Rashi quotes a very famous medrash. And Rashi explains that why Rivka was so disturbed, it wasn't just the pain. Rather, it was the confusion. Rashi goes to Medrash that when she passed by a base of Avodah Zarah, one of the children wanted to get out, obviously not knowing that there was two of them. And then when she passed by a base Medrash, the other one wanted to get out, and she thought she had this child who was running after Avodah Zarah and running after the base Medrash, and she said, well, what's going on over here? She's so confused. She doesn't want to give birth to these children, or this child, at this point in her understanding. So she goes and he asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and what's the answer? No, don't worry, there's twins. One of them is going to love Avodah Zarah, the other one's going to love to go to the base bench and learn Torah. And that seems to satisfy Rivka. Have you ever thought to yourself and ask, like, why is that a good answer? Meaning, Rivka was okay with having two sons, one in pure Ovid Avodah Zarah and one a Ben Torah, but she wasn't okay with having a son who, you know, sometimes wanted to go to the movies and sometimes wanted to go to the base medrash, right? Like, does that make any sense to us? Why was that a satisfying answer? Okay? So I want to share with you two approaches. One approach is from Reb Mendel Hirsch, the son of Reb Hirsch. Reb Hirsch's son explains to Reb Mendel Hirsch the following idea, that what Rivka is telling us, and really important so it is, that we understand Chanoch Nar al Pidarko. We could raise children and people and teach and educate them based off their different characteristics. But you need to identify what are those characteristics. What are those priorities? What are their values? What is difficult to raise and to educate? Somebody with an identity crisis. Somebody who doesn't know what their priorities and their values are. But they're constantly vacillating back and forth between this value and that priority, that they're easily swayed one way or another. Rivka was okay with the fact that there was a child who was going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. I'll deal with that. I'll raise him to hopefully come back to Torah and Mitzvos. But if I have a child who's running back and forth between those two things, it's just going to be too difficult. So, coincidence perhaps that this falls out close to Hanukkah, where we deal with, you know, Jewish people internally, the Misyavnim, who are going through an identity crisis, the Jews who are assimilating towards Greek culture. And so it's very important, what Reb Mendel Hirsch is telling us, to identify what are our values, what are our priorities. I want to share with you another shot, at least inspired by the Ozer of Rav, Rav Yehuda Leib Epstein. I saw his name quoted in a sefer, and he said that the problem was as follows, or at least what satisfied Rivka was the following. That when a person, says Rav Yehuda Leib Epstein, goes and is comfortable with being in the base medrash and dedicating life to Avodas Hashem, and then the next hour leaves there and goes and worships Avodah Zarah, then explains Rav Epstein that even when they are in the base medrash, they still never left the Avodah Zarah. That is not something that they were able to remove themselves from. It's, like I said, I only saw his name quoted, but at least what that inspired in my mind and what I think the Amkus of Dever is as follows. It's very important. That oftentimes we have a difficult time differentiating serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu or serving ourselves. When a person can go at one moment to a base of Avodah Zarah, and then the next moment back to the base medrash, then he never really cared about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he never really cared about the Avodah Zarah either. What did he care about? Himself. If he was in the mood for Avodah Zarah, he was going to Avodah Zarah. If he was in the mood for Avodah Hashem, he's going to be involved in Avodah Hashem. So what's going on over here? At least Rivka could be comforted by the fact that these children that she has at least can look beyond themselves. Yaakov fully, truly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Esav, even if he's going to be involved in Avodah Zarah, at least he's thinking about somebody else. At least it's not selfishly motivated. There's a dedication to something, and therefore you're not looking inwardly, you're looking outwardly. You care about something bigger and greater, and hopefully those who are mistaken in terms of their dedication to Avodah Zarah, you can bring back into the fold towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rav writes about this in a beautiful essay about on Korach's rebellion. It's a famous essay. And the Rav explains a part of the problem with Korach's rebellion and the reason why it's so important to have halacha, an objective expression of Avodah Hashem, as opposed to just a subjective one, meaning why don't we just all be good people, why don't we just do any acts of Avodah Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be happy, is because the Rav explains at least one of his three answers there, is in order to show that when we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're really serving Him and not ourselves. We really care about God, and therefore we're going to do things, even if it's inconvenient, even if we don't like it, if we don't connect to it. It's about the dedication that's important. And a person who can sway back and forth between the movie theater, the Avodah Zarah, whatever you want to put in, versus the Beis Medrash, that person clearly is not interested in any higher power, any being outside themselves, but is so selfish that he's going to satisfy whatever needs and desires he has. So when we all be Zocha, both to follow in the footsteps of Reversh and define who we are, in terms of what exactly are our priorities, what are our values, not like the Misyavnim, as well as not be selfishly motivated when we are involved in the Avodas Hashem, but be selflessly motivated in order to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.